If you know the Gordon family really well, you know that October 8th is a very, very big day for the Gordon family. October 8th, 2006 was the official day that you hired me as senior pastor. But more important than that, if you'll excuse me for that, more important than that, October 8th, 1994 was my first date with Julie. And I told myself, because I am an indecisive person, that I would date her for a year. And at the end of a year, either I would release her to some extremely fortunate gentleman, or I would propose. I wonder what decision I made. No. Clearly, I made the right decision, and October 8th, 1995, I proposed. And we had, my children have proof of that decision. And we had the greatest time. It was the simplest date ever. Because I knew, I hoped, rather, that she would say yes. I actually spent a great deal of money on that decision, but I hoped she would say yes. And then the plan was to simply go around to family and friends and give them the good news. And we pretty much surprised everyone. No one thought that it would happen that quickly. So we went around from house to house to house amongst our family and our close friends and said, "Hey, we have good news." And Julie would go, and everyone, the girls would go, and the guys would go, "All right!" And we just went around and had such a great time telling everyone good news. Good news is what we need today, amen? If I just stand up here and I say, "Trinity Baptist, I have good news," you immediately get excited. If I walk up to you on the street, in the hallway, outside the sanctuary, and in Bagwell Hall, and I just walk up to you and I say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, I've got great news," you immediately cheer up. You immediately get excited. Good news is what we need. And good news is what we have. We have good news for the world. And we have good news for you. Would you please open your Bibles to Romans 10 and stand with me in honor of the Holy Scriptures. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Them is Israel, by the way. For I testify about them, that is Israel, that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge, for not knowing about God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith, you see, two kinds of righteousness. Verse 5, based on law. Verse 6, based on faith. Verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith which you are preaching, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses said, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Let's pray. This is such a beautiful passage. Will you pray that God would help you understand the message that he gave to the Apostle Paul? Will you pray for the people around you that God would help them understand the message he gave to the Apostle Paul? Now please pray for me. I have one job and one job only. You didn't come to hear Dave's message. Pray that I would deliver the message God gave to the Apostle Paul. Hear our prayers today, God, and help me do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated, and let's take it from verse 1. As you know, because we're going through Romans, rather slowly, I admit, but we're going through Romans, chapters 9, 10, and 11 are one single section. Chapters 9, 10, 11 are one single section. If you want a big flyover picture of the book, 1 through 11, chapters 1 through 11 is the gospel, and then 12 through 16 is an application of the gospel in our everyday lives. And of course, we will get there if the Lord permits. But in that section, 1 through 11, being the gospel, 9 through 11 is a special section on the gospel for Israel. Israel, very, very, very important country in God's plan. Amen? Chapter 10, verse 1. This is the middle of the section on Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not know about God's righteousness. They were seeking to establish their own righteousness. That is a fatal problem. They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And look at verse 4. For Christ, that's the key. Christ is the key to righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In the beginning of the section, chapter 9, verse 1, Paul says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. What is he so upset about? Israel. And the fact that they have rejected Christ. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Let's pretend we were playing a table game. We're at the table, we've had dinner, and we pull out a game. We're going to play a game, and this game has questions, and we're going to ask questions about everyone. And I got my card, and I'm going to ask you this question. And the question is this: what is your heart's desire? How would you answer that question? Paul's heart's desire and his prayer to God is that his countrymen be saved. Is that your heart's desire? Is that your heart's desire? If I ask you what your heart's desire is your heart's desire for people to know Christ? Paul's heart's desire is that they would be saved. Why? Why is he so burdened for their salvation? Why is there unceasing grief in his heart for the Jewish people? Why? Look at verse 2. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Paul knows exactly what that is like, because he had the same zeal, but not according to knowledge. Keep your bookmark here in Romans 10. We will never leave it until we're through this morning. We will always come back to Romans 10. So keep a bookmark there and come with me to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Paul wants to give us his testimony this morning. Remember, those of you that are new to Trinity Baptist, a lot of times I'll have a verse on the screen, but when I say, please turn to Philippians 3, the verse will not be on the screen. You'll need to have your Bible open if you want to follow along. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. Philippians 3, 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in who? Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. Although I, Paul, might have had confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, there's the word. There's the word right there. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is found in the law, blameless. Paul was zealous for God. Excuse me, Saul was his name back then. Saul was zealous for God. He was totally dedicated to Judaism. He was totally dedicated to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was so zealous for God that he persecuted the church. And Paul says, my heart goes out to them because like me,
they are zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. He says, my heart's desire is for the Jewish people to be saved because they're zealous for God, but not according to the knowledge. What is wrong with their knowledge? He says, they're zealous, but their knowledge is wrong. What is wrong with their knowledge? Keep a bookmark in Philippians 3 and go back to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 3. What is wrong with their knowledge? For not knowing, see it? Not knowing. They don't know. Not knowing about God's righteousness. That's what's wrong with their knowledge. They don't know about God's righteousness. And seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Paul discovered that. Go back to Philippians 3. We just read 1 through 6. Look at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, all those things he just listed, he was circumcised, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he was a Pharisee, he was more zealous than anyone, he was absolutely great at keeping the law. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of who? Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Oh, that's what the persecuted church can teach us, brothers and sisters. Counting all things at loss for the greatness of knowing Christ. Why is it so great to know Christ? Why do our brothers and sisters in Iran say, I'll lose everything if I can have Jesus? Why do they say that? Why would anyone say that? Being willing to lose your wife and your children and your job and your money and your health and even your very life, losing everything so that you can have this one thing, Jesus. Why would anyone say that? Look at verse 9. Philippians 3, 9. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Wow. You can leave Philippians 3. We'll go back to Romans 10. Look at that. Remember, it's my righteousness, God's righteousness. Those are the two differences. My righteousness, God's righteousness. Paul says, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're seeking their own righteousness, and they're missing out on God's righteousness. And Paul says, I had a ton of my own righteousness, but I counted it all but lost so that I could have God's righteousness through Jesus Christ. You cannot have a relationship with God without Jesus. It's impossible. And Paul says, oh, my heart's desire for them is for their salvation. I have unending sorrow and unceasing grief. My heart is breaking for the Jewish people
because they don't know Christ, because they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Does that sound like anyone in our world today? Does that sound like anyone in our world today? Can I suggest to you that Muslims have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge? They're trying with all their might to earn their relationship with God by their good works, but they're not going to make it. You've seen people going up and down the street dressed professionally. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You've seen young men on bicycles with beautiful white shirt, pressed shirt, and a tie going up and down the street. I made friends with two of those young men. They were in my garage about once a month. And we talked for a long time about the Bible. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. A lot of religious people are zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. And they all make the same mistake. Every single one of them make the same mistake. Not knowing about God's righteousness, they're trying to establish their own. They're trying to earn their salvation by their good works. And our hearts should go out to these dear people who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that's number one in your notes. Should be in your bulletin. Our heart's desire and our prayer to God should be for the salvation of all the people around the world who are zealously following false religions. Who are zealously following false religions. This is why we do the One Hope Project. There are millions and millions and millions of Muslims on the other side of the world. And you know what they want? They want a Bible. They're asking for a Bible. Is that not the most incredible opportunity you've ever heard of? They're asking for a Bible. If you and I went to Iran right now with a stack of a million Bibles, it would be like a pizza party at a middle school. They would take them. We could go to Iran with 10 million Bibles. And we would run out. And there'd be people that want them. These dear people. Do you know what Islam stands for? I'm going to tell you right now what Islam stands for. I-S-L-A-M. It stands for this. I sincerely love all Muslims. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. We need to give them their own Bible. Why? Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Look at verse 5. Romans 10, 5. For Moses, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's going to explain it. Verse 5. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith, remember two kinds of righteousness. My own, God's. And here's another way of putting it. Righteousness based on law or works. Righteousness based on faith. Verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?
that is to bring Christ down? Or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in, look at the word, righteousness. That's what everybody's after. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in, say it, righteousness. And with the heart he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to teach you about Bible study really quickly this morning. There's a beautiful word in the Bible that you need to look for every time you're reading it. It is the word for. F-O-R, for. Paul is really good at doing this. He does this all the time. He makes a statement, and you kind of scratch your head, and you say, what does that mean? And the next word is for. And when you see that word, you know that he's going to explain what he just said. And that's what's happening here. In verse 4, he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What does that mean? Verse 5, for, and he just explained it. How can you be saved? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the righteousness you're looking for. There's two ways to be saved. There's only two methods, works and faith. Paul is comparing the two. Works salvation has one fatal problem. No one has ever done it. The problem with earning your salvation is this: no one ever has. There is not a single person in the history of mankind that hasn't needed God's undeserved grace to be saved. Number two in your notes. You cannot be saved by Christ until you realize you're a sinner. You cannot be saved by Christ until you realize you're a sinner. As long as you think you're doing okay, being good enough to go to heaven, you will never see your need for Christ. But you must come to the point in your life where you see clearly that you're a sinner and that you fall very, very short of God's standard for living. Then and only then can you turn to Christ for mercy and forgiveness. I'm not going to go to the doctor until I know I'm sick. Paul says the word of faith is near you. The word of faith is near you. What is the word of faith? Number three in your notes. The most important point in the entire sermon. Number three in your notes. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How can a person be righteous before God? By putting all their trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Verse 12, Romans 10, 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. The message of salvation is this: you cannot earn your way to heaven. Jesus will save you if you put your trust in him.
And if you put your trust in Jesus, if you abandon your attempt to earn your own salvation and say, Jesus, I need you. I can't do it on my own. I just need you. But I know that you will save me. Save me, Jesus. And you hold up your hands and say, save me, Jesus. He will. And the cool thing, the wonderful thing is verse 12. There is no distinction. If you're someone who makes notes in your Bible, underline that. There is no distinction. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. The message of salvation through faith is for the Jew. It is for the Gentile. It is for the black person. It is for the white person. It is for the Native American. It is for the Asian. It is for the Filipino. It is for the Cambodian. It is for those living in Africa. It is for those living in the Middle East. It is for those living in China. It is for those living in Russia. It is for those living in South America. The message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is for those on Valencia. It is for those on Tokowitz. The message of salvation is for the kids at Hoover School. The message of salvation through faith is for the drug addict. It is for the rapist. It is for the gangbanger. It is for the terrorist. It is for ISIS. It is for Boko Haram. The message of salvation is for all who will call on Jesus Christ. It is for liars. It is for the sexually immoral. It is for the homosexual. It is for the lonely. It is for the naked. It is for the hungry. It is for the thirsty. It is for the prisoner. It is for the blind. It is for the leper. It is for the lame. It is for the poor. It is for the homeless. It is for the sick. Verse 13 says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I will never forget riding with my dad to take a young man to the bus stop. My dad was a master at helping homeless people. And a young man came into his office and he wanted food or money for a motel or clothes or something like this. And the young man couldn't have been 18. And my dad said, son, where is your parents? And he said, oh, I haven't talked to my parents in a very long time. He says, well, we're going to fix that right now. What's their phone number? And he called the young man's parents. And he said, I have so-and-so in my office right now, and I know he's estranged from you, and I hope I can help out to be a reconciliation. I hope I can fix that. But for now, I'm going to send him home. I'm going to take him to the Greyhound bus station right now. I'm going to buy his ticket. I'm going to put him on the bus. And the young man's parents said, that would be great. We really appreciate your time today, Pastor. That would be great. So my dad called me. I was somewhere. My dad called me and said, I want you to come right now and ride with me with this young man at the bus stop. I got in the car and we drove. And as we were driving, my dad was presenting the gospel to him. Explained the whole thing. God loves you and Jesus Christ died for you and he paid for all of your sins on the cross, past, present, and future. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can be forgiven. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. And he said, Pastor, that would be so great. But you do not know what I have done. It is too late for me. And I just smiled. I didn't want the young man to see me smile, but I just smiled. I thought, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I just sat back, and my dad said, I know exactly what I'm talking about, son. And the young man began to explain his sins, and they were significant. He had gotten into some sort of satanic cult, and there was some sort of ritual and some worship services and stuff like that. And my dad said, "You can repent of those things. No one can keep you from Jesus right now." And I want to tell you this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Trinity Baptist, why do we do missions? Why do we care? Why do we go to Hoover School and do Good News Club? Why do we go down Valencia and Tocquitz and Santa Rosa and San Jacinto? Why do I prayer walk these streets? Why do we support missionaries? Why do we do the One Hope Project? Why do we do our backpack outreach? Why do we do missions? Look at verse 14. Romans 10, 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Israel says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Trinity Baptist, the gospel is for everyone. But how can they call on Jesus if they haven't heard the gospel? How can people call on the name of the Lord if they haven't heard his name? In this neighborhood right here. I'm not talking about the city of Indio. I'm not talking about our place within a square mile here. I'm talking about Valencia, Tocowitz, Santa Rosa, and San Jacinto. Four streets and Hoover School. In those four streets, there are 160 houses. There are 14 apartment complexes. There is one convalescent home. There is one alcohol treatment center and one elementary school. We have a Bible study at Hoover School. Michael Tyler stood up here just a few moments ago and said, we need everyone to get involved. We need help at that elementary school. We need help at that Bible study. Can you help? Can you help? How great would it be if we had a Bible study in all 14 apartment complexes? How great would it be if we had a Bible study at the convalescent home? How great would it be if we had a Bible study at the alcoholic treatment center? How great would it be if we had a Bible study for those living on Valencia, and another one for those living on Tocowitz, and another one for San Jacinto, and another one for Santa Rosa? How great would that be? The gospel is for all of the people that live around this building, but how can they believe in Jesus if they haven't heard the gospel? We must go out and share the gospel with the people in this city. The gospel is for everyone, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Are you devoted to the gospel? I can tell you with absolute certainty that the gospel is why you were born. Mark 16:15 behind me on the screen says this. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." I want this room full. But not because I need numbers. I want this room full because there's people out there that need to be in here. And it's not just the city of Indio. As you know, around the world today, there are 1,500 unengaged, unreached people groups in the world today. 1,500 unengaged, unreached people groups. The gospel is for everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? That is why our church is committed to missions. That is why we do what we do. We support several missionaries, and I hope that number doubles or triples or quadruples, because the need is great. Amen? Perhaps God is calling you to be a missionary here in Indio. Perhaps God is calling you to be a missionary to an unreached people group on the other side of the world. Obey. Obey. Because the gospel is why you were born. The gospel is why you were born. Number three in your notes. People cannot believe in Jesus if they do not hear the gospel. Romans 10:18. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. Romans 9:10-11 is about who? It's about Israel. It's about Israel. And Paul started out this chapter by saying, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. And every verse we looked at needs to be considered in the context of Israel. How will they call on him in whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? We're going to have communion in just a few moments, but first, we're going to pray for Israel. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our wonderful privilege right now as Trinity Baptist Church to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we pray for the Jews, not only in Jerusalem, not only in Israel, but around the world. We pray for those men in those black suits and the beards with the scrolls praying at the wall, who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And our heart's desire and our prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that they would see that they cannot keep the law. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they would read Leviticus, that they would read Deuteronomy, that they would read the prophets, and they would see that they keep falling short. That the law, we pray, would be their tutor to lead them to Christ. We pray that they'd be convicted of sin. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that the law and the prophets would testify to Messiah. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the believers living in Jerusalem, that their lives would adorn the gospel. And they would move to jealousy their countrymen. That those that have rejected Messiah would look at the Christians and say, they have the relationship with God that we've always wanted. And they would be moved to jealousy and turn to Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Trinity Baptist Church would be committed to reaching the Jews. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be faithful to take the gospel to India and beyond. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be faithful. Raise up laborers, like Michael Tyler said a few moments ago, raise up laborers in our own midst to serve the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.